holy God. What a righteous God. Amen, 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 amen. Has the Lord blessed you in this place tonight? Have you felt the presence of the Lord? Oh, I think we could do just a little bit better than that. If you've been blessed, you ought to shout unto the Lord. If He's touched your body, if He's moved in your spirit. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Never take it for granted that the Lord moves in our church services. He could easily be somewhere else, but because of His mercy, He has honored us by His presence. And let us always be moved by the presence of the Lord and be thankful that He chose to come into our church and into our service. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I am so thankful for all of our guests here tonight. Thank the Lord for all of our guests. We welcome you. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for choosing to worship with us tonight. And we always want God to have His way. And I pray that all the time. And that's why we don't quench the Spirit of the Lord to stick with some kind of program. But we need to let the Spirit of the Lord flow. And that's where people will benefit in a great, great way. However, we do have to have preaching also. And so, but we do want to have the Spirit and truth prevailing in our services. So, I have been pretty sick, and I was, the Lord kind of touched me this morning. I was able to teach a little bit. I had a very, very severe headache today, and I just couldn't study and couldn't pray. And so I've asked Brother Lee to come and help me tonight. So without any further ado, would you please welcome Brother Lee to this pulpit?
Can we do that to Jesus? Hallelujah. Come on, I know God has moved in such a mighty way already, but can we just love Him? Can we just honor Him tonight? I heard a preacher say one time, I was listening to a Because of the Times CD. I can't slip my mind, but I can't remember what minister it was preaching that day, but you can tell by the CD that they had such a tremendous move of God in that service. And I heard him say that, he said, it's hard for me to describe. He said, some of you folks may look at me in an awkward manner when I say this. But he said, I feel like somewhere off, Jesus is smiling in this service. And I just felt that so strong, that God is smiling down in this service. Could we lift our hands one more time? This place is prime for an awesome move of God right now. I know it's already happened. I know some have already been touched, but it's primed for a move of God right now. I urge you, if you have not stepped into the presence of God in this service, that you would do so right now. Hallelujah. Jesus is here. And He is doing something marvelous in this place. Amen. Feeling very inadequate right now. such an awesome move of God. How do you come behind that and try to say something? But this has been on my mind quite some time. This Lord actually put this on my heart some time ago when we had Brother Rios preaching for us. And he made some statements. Him and I were visiting one night, and he made some statements that just kind of stuck with me. And just kind of put it on the back burner. But when Pastor called me and asked me if I would preach tonight, I just felt led of the Lord to say this. So I hope it helps someone tonight, but this is what I feel in the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to give honor to my pastor tonight. Thank him for allowing me to minister to this great church. We have an awesome church. How many of you love your church? Come on, how many of you honestly love your church? We've got a great place right here. I said we've got a great place. God has blessed this place. And I am thankful for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, very familiar verse of Scripture. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And then we will turn back over to the book of John. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." Everybody say escape. Escape. "That ye may be able to bear it." Book of John chapter 14. Book of St. John. Turn back with me. Chapter 14. Beginning at verse 1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." I just want to speak on this subject for just a moment. Evacuation plan. Evacuation plan. Would you put your Bibles down beside you, and can we go to the Lord just one more time and ask him to move in this service? Could we do that tonight? Could you lift your voice? Could you lift your faith? Could you open up your heart once again to receive the Spirit of the Lord? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we come before you tonight. God, asking you, Lord, that you would minister in this place. Lord, that you would move in this place tonight. God bless, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Open up our minds. Let us receive the word of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we clap our hands and love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Can you worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can somebody give him a shout of praise? Can somebody give him some adoration? Can somebody let him know that you are just so thankful for what God has already done in the midst of our service here tonight? Can somebody just be thankful? Can somebody offer him a sacrifice of worship? Can we give him a sacrifice of praise here tonight? Oh, Lord, we thank you, God, for what you've done in this place tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, the building is on fire. What shall we do? God bless you. You may be seated. I know the building is not actually on fire, but if it were, we would all be running and screaming and losing our minds. But tonight I want to talk about something, and it may be a little bit different here tonight. I'm kind of feeling uncomfortable because this is just kind of in an unknown zone to me, but something that plays a big role in our lives, but it almost always gets overlooked or never really gets that much attention. It is something that is so very important that even OSHA and FEMA make sure that your business has this in place. Insurance companies, other emergency management personnel require your business or your school or your college or any other place where large crowds of people gather together and attend. They want to be sure that this is in place. We were in Florida last week for our business meeting, our fall business meeting.
I noticed on the back side of the door that they have one on every hotel door and in every lobby and all around areas of the hotel, and it is simply an evacuation route. So I did a little research. Now, don't laugh at Brother John and Sister Delisa's schematic, but this is our evacuation route for the Sunday school department. And as you can see, I took a copy of the master, but each one of our classes has one. But as you can see, the master shows dots of every individual class, and then there is a dotted trail that shows exactly how to get out of the building if there was a dire situation. Evacuate means to withdraw from a place of danger to a place of greater safety. Evacuation plan would be a detailed proposal or drawing from that place of harm or danger to a place of safety. Now, I didn't come to speak on fire safety this evening, but as I do come, I have come tonight to speak what I feel in my heart, that just as is it important for a place of business to have an evacuation plan, so should the church. Spiritual evacuation plan. We need to know what we need to do to get out of here. This place is on fire. This world is burning down. And we've got to know where we need to go to get out of here. There's neighbors, there's co-workers, there's family members that are lost in this world, and they're panicking, and they're not sure which way to turn. But there's somebody in this church that needs to become an evacuation plan. I know it sounds crazy. It's a little weird. In the a paper called The Gospel in Hymns, 50 is a story about Phillips Brooks, author of O Little Town of Bethlehem. One April Fool's Day, Brooks saw a boy on Boylston Street in Boston trying to reach a doorbell. Brooks walked up the steps saying, "Let me help you, my little man." He pushed the button. The boy scampered down the steps saying, "Now run like crazy." He thought he was there going to help him ring the doorbell, and the little boy was there to try to pull somebody's leg. He said, "Run like crazy." And that's exactly what this world is doing today. They're just trying to run like crazy. They're trying to run from their circumstance, run from their situation, run from the problems they are dealing with. Come on, I know where I'm at tonight, but it's up to the church tonight to present to this world an evacuation plan that will lead them safely and soundly to a place that will save them. Come on, somebody. It's time for us to be the lighthouse. It's time for us to reach like we've never reached before. And let this world know we're not drunk as ye suppose. We just got an evacuation plan. I wish somebody would help me tonight and say, "I'm not crazy. I just know where I'm going. This world may be burning down, but I know where I'm going." Clap your hands and love him one more time, would you? Now, don't laugh at me because I'm just a simple guy, but basically there are three main parts to an evacuation plan. Now, I know you can get real detailed, and there are many more other parts if you really want to get technical, but for those of us that are simple-minded like myself, and for time, I'm just going to keep it simple. But there are three basic parts. First, you gotta have your location point. You gotta know where you are. Secondly, there's the evacuation route. How do I get out of here? And thirdly, there is the assembly point. Where am I going? And so tonight, if you'll allow me, I'm gonna talk on these three points for just a moment. Our first part to our plan is the location point. in order for the route to work and in order to get to the assembly point or the place of safety, you must first understand where you are. They say the first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem. And the sooner we realize that we are in a world that is burning down, that we are in a life that is in a mess, and we're headed the wrong way, the easier it will be for us to find the evacuation route. Can I get an amen? Right in the beginning of the Bible, Adam messed up and they hid themselves. Adam and Eve messed up and they hid themselves, and God came looking for Adam. God knew where he was and God knew what happened, but he wanted Adam to speak up and admit he failed. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. But ye are justified, where? In the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. You see, we understood one day at an altar where I was. I was in misery. I was lost and gone my way to hell. I was bound by drugs and all kinds of things. And when I finally came to the realization of myself, when I finally understood where I was, I'm not trying to be offensive here tonight, but I'm telling you, in order to move on from where we are to where we're going, we must first pinpoint where we are. I've got to know what room I'm standing in. They've got these little circles, and I added them on your schematic, but in the hotel room, they've got the little drawing, and there's the little red dot. And it says, you are here. I'm sorry, I'm just simple, Brother White. It says, you are here. Because I'm not going to know which route to take if I don't know where I am. If I'm over here in the nursery side, hallelujah, and there's a fire in the youth room, and I don't know exactly where I am and what route I need to take, I can run right straight into the face of danger and cross paths with the fire in the youth room. Amen. That's right. But because I know where I am, because I understand what room I'm standing in, I know that if I just turn the corner, there's a stairway to safety. There's a stairway to safety that's going to take me to my assembly point. That's going to bring me to a spot of safety. Baby, we've got to establish where we are. You are here. Where? Where am I? Where are you tonight? Such were some of us. We were failures. We were cheats. We were drunks. But when I came to terms that I was in a dangerous place and that I needed God, I was able to find the route I needed to take to bring myself to safety. Romans 3 and 28, I mean 23. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you're in this place tonight and you feel like you're all alone, you're not all alone. I still carry flesh. I still make mistakes. I still do stupid things sometimes. But it's when I realize where I am, and it's when I realize that I am a sinner, lost and dying without God, and that I need a Savior to step into my life. Come on, somebody. I wish somebody would help me tonight and say, I was once in sin, but Jesus came by. And now I know the route to take. And now I know my assembly point. It's going to be in heaven one day. I'm trying to hurry, But we've got to understand where we are. We've got to realize that without God, we are lost. We need Jesus. Church, we need Jesus. I don't care if you've been in this 60 years or 6 days. We need Jesus. Come on, I'm not ashamed to say it. I've been Holy Ghost filled 11 years, and I was up here crying my eyes out, saying, I need more of you, God. I'm still a sinner. I'm still flesh. I'm in a bad state of mind, but I need Jesus. Come on, 90% of our problems would leave if we would stand up in the midst of them and say, I need Jesus. You can never have more of the Lord. I'm thankful, and I'm the youth pastor, so I'm just going to brag, okay? But I'm thankful for this group of young people I have. Some church services don't experience what we experience on Sunday mornings. But the last 3 Sunday mornings, I didn't even know if we were going to get to teach because some young people came in and understood where they were and knew that if I can get a hold of my Savior, if I can get a hold of my... Thank you, young people, for worshiping God and serving God in a world that's burning down. There's some young people that say, we know where we are. You are here. So we established where we are. Now comes the good part. We need to find our evacuation route. What is the best route that's going to get me to safety? It is vital that we look for not necessarily the quickest, but the safest route that's going to lead us out of the disaster we're in and into safety. We must familiarize ourselves and know in our heart what it's going to take to get us to safety. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, he said, there's no temptation taken you that is common to man. He said, but God is faithful. I don't know how many times in prayer these last 3 months, that's all I could say. God is faithful. And I would feel those things try to pile on me, and I'd pick myself up and I'd say, God is faithful. Come on, some of you need to look hell in the eyes tonight and say, but God is faithful. Come on, I'm in the middle of a burning building. Flooding is about to occur. A tornado is on its way. Disaster is everywhere. But what's my quickest way out of this mess? What is the safest, most effective way out? John 14, 1 through 7. Thomas said the same thing. He said, Lord, we don't know the way. He said, we don't know where you're going, and how can we simply know the way? And I like what Jesus said in verse 6. He didn't try to debate. He didn't try to draw out some long version of this or that. He just simply said, I am the way. Thomas, I am the way. Thomas, if you look to me, and keep your eyes locked on me. The evacuation route spiritually should be Jesus and Him only. Jesus said, I am the way. The way, the route is only through Jesus Christ. No matter what this world says, the only route that is the safest and most secured. I know it sounds like a Bible study, but let me tell you what God's put on my heart, that it's only through Jesus. This world would tell you there's many roads. This world would tell you there's many ways. But baby, my Bible says that it's only in Him. Buddha said, I'll show you the way.
Allah said, I'll show you the way. But Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'll point you to a direction. He said, keep your eyes locked on me, because I am the way. I am the door. I am the life. I am the resurrection. We need to get it in our soul. We need a revival of Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's in Jesus' name. Healing's in Jesus' name. Deliverance is in Jesus' name.
It's in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. I'm just going to be old school tonight. Is that okay? For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Matthew 1 and 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'm in a burning state of mind, Brother Lee. I don't know which way to go. I'm telling you which way to go. It's through Jesus. Come on, the little dots on my diagram. I felt like writing Jesus, 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 Jesus. But I ran out of time. But that's what we should look at when we draw ourselves our little spiritual evacuation route. We should identify where we are, and then we should just simply write Jesus on the page. Come on, I wish I could get some elders in here to help me tonight and say it's only by the blood. It was only through his name that I was able to overcome all the things that I overcome. It's in him. It's all in him. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, would you? Love the Lord. Nicodemus was in the same situation. He's trying to find the route. What way do I take to this place you're preaching about? How do I get there? What's the route I need to take? And we understand what Jesus told him. He said, you have to be born again. And he said, well, should I be born again? John 3 and 6 said, should I be born again? Should I go into my mother's womb a second time? And Jesus just simply shut that down, because Nicodemus was thinking in the carnal, and he turned it back spiritual, and he said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. That's the evacuation route. It's water and his Spirit. It's baptism in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and it's being filled with his precious Spirit. That's the only way this body is going to leave this earth and take place in heaven. Come on, I wish somebody would help me preach now. I'm just basic. All it's going to take is the name of Jesus and his Spirit to be applied into my life, and I'm on my way. They said the same thing to Peter. What shall we do? Acts 2:38, he said, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It still takes the water, and it still takes the Spirit. It still takes righteous living. It still takes praying. It still takes fasting. It still takes studying God's word. It still takes being separated. Hallelujah. It still takes holy living. It still takes being submitted to the man of God. Oh, I know. I knew it was going to get quiet right here, but I'm going to preach it anyway. It still takes living by the Bible. It still takes going to church and worshiping God. It still takes giving myself over to the one called Jesus. It still takes it. Huh. I told our young people one time, and I'm sidetracking, but I just feel to say this. I told our young people one time while I was teaching, I said, if what the world offered was so good, why am I here? Hello? If what the world had, Brother Ricky, was so great because I lived in it, why was I able to be persuaded to live for God? I thank God for my pastor. And I thank God for the messages that's been coming across this pulpit. I thank God for a pastor who not only wants to live this Pentecostal experience, but wants us to be apostolic in power and apostolic in the way we live and the way we talk and in the way... Come on! The only route we need to take is the apostolic route. The only thing they preached was the apostolic doctrine. Amen. Well, praise God. I'll let you go home and study what that is. I've got to hurry. Jeremiah 6 and 16. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. My God. Romans 8 and 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Jeremiah 6 and 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You want peace in your life? Seek the apostolic way. Oh, I said, you want peace in your life? You want the chaos to silence? Hell to leave you alone. Start praying. Start fasting. Start being apostolic. Start clinging to your Bible. Start quoting the word. Start letting hell know that it's all in him. It's all in him. I'm talking about an evacuation plan for me and my family. The only way I'm going to get them to heaven is I must preach to them Jesus. And praise God. I'm not trying to be offensive, but self-help books won't get it. Philosophies of the world won't get it. I've got a weight on my shoulders, Brother White. I've got three beautiful young girls. And right now, the only Jesus they're really going to encounter is through me and their mama. And what they see in church. So I've got to make sure that my plan, my evacuation route, includes the house of God, includes fellowship of the brethren, it includes family prayer, it includes family fasting, it includes worshiping God, even when my flesh don't feel like it. It includes giving to God, even when my bank account says I can't give. Come on! It includes being apostolic in a world that hates it. When my kids get older and they get in a situation, I want them to know what route they need to take. And you know, I may not do it like the other youth pastors. I may not do things the way some of them guys do it. But you can ask our students. The only thing I know to teach is apostolic doctrine. We have more lessons on prayer. We have more lessons on holy living. We have more lessons on servanthood and reverence in Jesus. We have more lessons on giving of ourselves. We have more lessons on seeking the Lord. And you know what? Just about every Sunday, sometimes we don't even get to the lesson because kids are coming in and they're understanding the route that's being laid out by our pastor. They understand the route that's being passed down through the ministry. They understand that when they walk in that classroom and they're in a burning room in their life, all they've got to do is look up and know that God is fighting for them and He's making a way of escape. I wish somebody would help me tonight and say, from this night on, I'm setting forth an evacuation plan for my family. I'm going to shout when I don't feel like shouting. I'm going to pray even when my tears are overwhelming. Even when all hell has come against me, I will lift my hands and I will love God. In a world that teaches us to quit, to try something else, I'm going to stick to what is true. Thank you, elders, for paving the way for young men like me to look at you and know that if I just hold on to the name of Jesus. Thank you, Grandma, for praying all those prayers. Your baby that's over in youth class with us on Sunday morning, she's getting a hold of God. He's pressing through to the Holy Ghost. You just keep fighting a good fight of faith. You keep laying the foundation, and God will see them through. It still takes speaking in tongues. It still takes praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, a funny thing, I did do a little studying, okay? But the funny thing is they get experts to come in and map these things out in businesses and schools. They get fire marshals. They get emergency management personnel. And they come in and they put their heads together and they go over every situation that could possibly happen. And they sit down and they draw map after map after map of this and that until they come up with one that's agreeable, that's the safest way, and that's the most productive way. I really thought it was funny that Jeremiah said, grab hold of the old paths. What our forefathers fought for to bring this gospel across this great country, it still works today. There was a lot of prayer that went into it. There was a lot of fasting that went into it. There was a lot of scenarios that they went through. Come on. There was a lot of scenarios G.A. Mangan went through to produce what he produced. But now his grandson and granddaughter can look at that map and understand that if it worked for him and if it worked for my daddy, it most definitely must work for me. The paths have stood the test of time. And I wrote this down today, but God told Joshua to set 12 large stones. I thought this was interesting in the river as a memorial. We know the story. But I got to thinking about that. He told them to set unmovable objects. Not able to be washed away by the river. Not able to be just so easily rolled away by the wind. Not some little pebbles or some sticks, but he said, put something in the midst of that river that's going to stand the test of time. He said, so when future generations walk by this river, what does this mean? Oh, let me tell you what it means. Let me tell you what it means. Let me tell you something. You don't know what this means to me. I was so beaten down. I was so tore up. I was so distraught. I was so just felt hopeless and helpless toward my family. My family didn't even want to talk to me. I was so ripped apart, and this world just basically tried to annihilate me. But when a man of God came by and handed me an evacuation plan and said, Jeffrey, go home and just start reading a little bit of this and start reading a little bit of that. Baby, let me tell you, it wasn't long after that that I came in the church shouting, letting somebody know, hey, I was in a room that was burning down, but somebody handed me an evacuation route. Maybe you're here tonight and don't know Jesus. We're going to give you that evacuation route tonight. There is an easier way. My God, have mercy. Whew, I've got to hurry. We can't trust just any old route, church. It's our lives that are at stake. Just as though you'd be in that burning room of the Clifton, your life's at stake. And as an employee of the building, I'm required to study that evacuation plan. Uh-oh. As an employee of the hotel, I am required to understand the evacuation plan. So that way when there's visitors and there's people not familiar with the territory, I can help get them to safety. And God has charged this apostolic church for us to be representatives of the evacuation plan. It's my job to let them know how to get out of here. It's my job to let my neighbors know how to get out of here. It's my job to let my mama know how to get out of here. We're charged tonight. I don't mean to damper the spirit, but we're charged. We're representatives of this company. We're representatives of the name of Jesus Christ. And sometimes the only Bible they'll ever read is you and I. And sometimes the only Jesus they'll ever see is you and I. What are we doing to represent to this world the evacuation plan? Whew. Hebrews 2, chapter 2, I'm hurrying. Verses 1 through 3. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. I'm going to let that marinate a second. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Next verse. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Next verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He said every disobedience had their reward. He said, but how do we escape that reward? If we neglect the salvation that was spoken of. I'm sorry, I may just be repetitive, I don't know. But it still takes the good old gospel message. You can have all this other stuff the world's trying to give us and help us with. I don't need it. All I need is a Bible. All I need is Jesus. And all I need is a pastor that's behind me that says you can do all things through Christ. I don't need anything else. All I need is my evacuation route. What's been tested, what's been tried, and what's been proven. They don't just think these things up and stick them to the back of the door of the hotel. They run tests. They prove them. And I know I haven't been living for God as some of you precious elders, as long as some of you precious elders have been. I've only been in this 11 years. But I can tell you there have been some nights where I felt like all hell was poured out on me. My wife cried, I cried, we wanted to quit. But I kept going back to the words that that man won me to the Lord with. Jeffrey, you can do all things through Christ. God is faithful. God is on your side. One of his favorite scriptures, he used to tell me all the time, Jeff, if God be for you, who can be against you? And finally, there's our assembly point. The place where we meet up and we're accountable. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. James 5, 13 through 16, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. The church. The church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save, 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 save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. You don't think church is important? This is our assembly point. This is the first spot we meet up and let people know I'm still holding on. Or maybe we may be a little scared. We may be a little paranoid at what's happening to us around us, but we can gather with like individuals and we can draw strength from one another and we can allow one another to minister to us. Come on, somebody, just as they do out there in the plant and in the hotel and everything else, when they run fire drills, there's a spot this set meets, there's a spot this set meets, there's a spot this set meets, and they all get accountable to one another and they let each other know that I'm here. I may be a little afraid. I may be in a little fog of what's going on, but I'm here. I am standing right here in front of you. It's the point we can come and gather and share one another's burdens and pray for one another and let one another know you're not by yourself in this burning room. You're not by yourself in this situation. Come on, there's some others in this church that may be going through what you're, or went through what you're going through. There may be some up here that have went through what I'm going through. Hallelujah. And they can offer me their best way of escape. Sometimes there are several assembly points. I know in school, when we used to do fire drills back home, certain sections of the hallway would go out and meet in certain places, and that was your first point. And you would be accountable to whoever they put over that group. And they would call names, and the teachers would have their roll calls, and they would go through the list, and they would call names. And when everybody was there, then that group, and that group, and that group, and that group had another spot further away from the incident where they all would meet up. I'm so thankful I get to go to heaven one day. Come on. A place where we all gonna meet up. And a place where we all can look at one another and say, yeah, it was chaos. Yeah, sometimes it made me cry. Sometimes I wanted to give in. But thank God I made it to the other side. Would you stand with me? I'm getting ready to close. I got one more scripture. Thank you for being patient with me. Revelation 20, 12 through 15. I'm not preaching doom, but this is what I felt today to add to that. I didn't even have this today, but I felt the Lord impress me. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I let my mind roam back to my school days. It's, the youth group tells me all the time that they remind me how old I am, but I didn't think I was that old. But I went back to the school days today and I tried to remember how we did fire drills. And I don't know how they do it here, but back home, I mean, we're Vols Parish. Well, that's just enough said. But when we did a fire drill, it never really, I can't ever really remember a time where we went through a situation where we actually had to evacuate. But during the fire drills, when we would meet up at the assembly point, the teacher would pull out her roll and she began to read off the names. Such and such here, such and such here, such and such, such and such, such and such. And then once our names were checked off the roll, we were then allowed to be released to our parents. But we could not, Brother Brandon, be released to our parents until our name was accounted for on the roll. There's coming a day where we're going to stand before the great roll. The building will be burning behind us. Jesus will be standing before us. I ask you tonight, Mount Pisgah, will your route that you're following put your name on that great roll? When we all get up in that meeting place and Jesus begins to call the roll as His church is evacuated, and as this place is falling apart and it's burning down at the seams, will the Lord find your name on the roll? Will you be accounted for? When He calls your name, can you be accounted for? Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is very different for me. I'm not accustomed to ministering this way, but I just had to do what the Lord prompted me to do. But church, there's coming a day where our names are going to be called. This place is burning down. This world is in a mess. It's in a whirlwind, a tornado of mess. There's chaos everywhere. And we can all raise our hands and we can probably all name some kind of circumstance that we're each going through tonight. But the good part about it is if I've got a plan of safety in place, if I've got my evacuation route established, I don't have to worry. I may get a little nervous. I may sometimes get a little caught off guard by the things that are going on, but I can simply return to my map. I can return to the Word of God. And I can know everything's going to be all right. If you're here tonight and you say, "Well, Brother Lee, I don't have that route. I don't know which way to go." I offer you Jesus tonight. He is in this place. They were in the same situation. Peter just finished preaching to them about them crucifying the Lord, about them hanging the Savior of the world upon a tree. And he preached to them roughly and they said, "Well, what do we do about it then, Peter?" And he handed them each a map. And he said, "If you'll repent, thank you for realizing where you are. Now, if you'll repent and if you'll be baptized in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, you'll receive the gift
of the Holy Ghost. I open these altars tonight. Maybe there's an elder here that says, I kind of got, kind of let my evacuation plan fade over the years. I can't really read it that well. I offer you an opportunity to redraw it tonight. Maybe there's somebody here that don't know how to get out of the burning building. You're not sure. You've realized through this service that you felt God move and you felt Him tug at your heart. So you realize you need Him and you understand you need Him, but you're not quite sure how to do it. We offer you the evacuation plan tonight. Repent! Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Have your sins washed away. Rise again, a brand new man. And let Him fill you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And let Him write your evacuation plan. Let Him write your plan. Would you come tonight? Would you make your way to the altar tonight? Would you lift your hands and would you say, Jesus, I'm in a burning room. My mind is in a fog. My life is in a whirlwind. I'm not sure my way of escape. Would you help me tonight? Would you help me? Come on, I know the Lord has moved so heavily. But will we respond to Him one more time? Will we allow Him to move one more time? Come on, somebody put His hand upon your heart today and say, follow me. I am the way, I am the truth.
I will take hold.